So great to have Lenny and Kathy Smith here with us tonight. Kathy kind of grew up in this church from high school on. And Lenny and Kathy, been in Victoria, have been down in Antigua. I think, how many, 17 years, is that right, around there? 18 years coming up this year. And, of course, Lance was down there for a bit, assisting them and helping them, and then he decided to go out on his own missionary journey, kind of like Paul, and he split off from the family and ended up marrying Sarah, and they've got a little grandson now, Liam. They're here tonight, so great to have you all here tonight, Lance and Sarah. And if we could all stand, it's just an honor to have them here. And Lenny Smith is one of the hardest working men that I know. And it's because of this family that when we get to heaven, we're going to meet a whole other side of our family tree that we didn't even know existed because of their efforts in this country. And I would like for Brother Lenny to come and share with us a little bit tonight about what's going on south of the border. South, the Southern Oceans. Love you, brother.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Liam. That's my boy. Amen. Amen.
Can you help me preach? Can you help me preach? Hallelujah.
Now he's quiet.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Amen. You can be seated. It is a privilege and an honor to be here with everyone. Amen. And Bishop and Pastor. Amen. Bishop's going to come to Antigua one of these days. He's going to make it. Amen. But I let him know the Sunday that right before I left, he preached our Sunday night service. He did. So he's preached in Antigua. I just want you all to know that. Amen. He did. Yeah, he did. Amen. So if you could cue up that DVD, will show you a little bit of what's going on in Antigua. We've been there 18 years, coming in July. Amen. And God has been good. Amen. Last year we had, 32 or 3 filled with the Holy Ghost and 22 or 3 baptized, one a week. Amen. This year we have 14 filled with the Holy Ghost and 6 baptized already. Amen. The last one was just on Saturday morning outreach. That's the church there, that red roof that you'll see real close up coming up. And we got solar on there now, and that's paying most of the electric bill, which has been a blessing. It got down to 59 degrees, Bishop. You believe that? 59 in Antigua. That's unheard of. Everybody was freezing to death. It's like, amen. That's some of the islands you can see from Antigua, Montserrat and Redonda, St. Kitts and Nevis. And you can see Guadalupe on the other side on a good day. We were able to add on to the pavilion, and that's kind of a multi-purpose place. That's where the guys want to spend their youth camp. They want to stay in there, not up in the balcony. And we didn't pour 42 yards of concrete, but we did pour a few yards. Amen. But we used the mixer. Amen. We got some good young men. They're willing to work hard, and we do everything down there. Amen. And it's got a big door if we got to work on a vehicle. It's got the little ones so they can just have it to enter. And church work isn't always just preaching. Amen. You got to take care of everything. I get to be the fill-in. The British owned the island, or they claimed it. Right there's a couple of guys that came with Brother Newbold when they came down to preach or outreach. at Sister Mauricia praying the lady through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And outreach. We have a lot of people filled with the Holy Ghost on the street. But Brother Newbold sent two young men with them. We ended up calling them the Sons of Thunders because their names were James and John. Amen. And that's a guy being baptized in outreach. You see our shirts on. We got to go into the state college this year, and we were there for an hour talking about creation versus evolution. And we had over 65 people there. One of the teacher of that classroom is Dwayne. He's one of our members, if you want to say that. Amen. And we got to go to his classroom and invite a bunch of people into it in the afternoon, and we were able to talk about how God created everything. Amen. We like to teach young people how to pray, and then we like to teach them how to pray one for another. Amen. You need to pray one for another, church. There's no better thing to do than to pray one for another. And we have church when there is no electricity. Even though we got solar, when the juice goes off, it's off. Amen. So we have an awesome time in the dark. Amen. God moves. It don't matter if you have lights or not. We like to go back. You call people up to the altar, but a lot of the visitors, they like to stay back there. That was Keisha. Mom prayed for her. I met her on outreach. She came. She got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. Her two boys got the Holy Ghost. Amen. She's in a Bible study, still coming to church, being faithful. Amen. Some beautiful sunsets down there. Amen. But the sun never sets, don't you know? Amen. We teach a lot of Bible studies. That's foundations of truth there. Once people come in, get baptized, get the Holy Ghost, we like to get them in a Bible study so they can learn the Word of God for themselves to get roots. Amen. Praise God. So we believe in teaching the Word of God. Got to be a soul winner. Amen. Raquel, they're the one that's by Victoria. She came to church one Sunday morning. She called me Saturday night and said, I want the Holy Ghost. Can I come to church? She said, yeah. And when first thing she did, we had a wedding back in this February. Two of our young people got married. Amen. Nick and Mauricia. We had 120 people there. And in the pavilion that we built, we were able to feed them all right in the pavilion. So it's working out good. That's where we feed the young people. That's Pastor Smith from the island of Barbuda. She's not UPC. We were teaching her a Bible study. Amen. She's Wesleyan Holiness pastor. Sarah Lee got the Holy Ghost during the Bible study, and then we took her out that night and got her baptized right away. Amen. Koya came because she was invited by a friend. She got the Holy Ghost baptized. The water is so clear. It's just clear. It ain't like looking at Lake Monona. Amen. That's when Brother Nubo was there for our youth camp. We had a tremendous youth camp. Had a number of people, young people, get the Holy Ghost and get baptized. This year, believe it or not, Brother Jerry Jones is coming to preach our youth camp. Amen. So exciting things are happening. Amen. Those were all the young people that got the Holy Ghost or baptized or both during our youth camp. Amen. Brother, hang up your certificate. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Yatisha's doing really good. Amen. And Jacinta's, they're in Bible studies and they're faithfully serving God. And that was Keisha. When I got done talking to her on outreach, she said, Pastor, she goes, God sent you to my door. In the first service she was there, Andrea was given a Bible study, and she kept it in her drawer for a year. And then she called the bus driver up and said, could you bring me to church? And she came, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. Amen. So just because you plant a seed, don't worry about it, because it's got to take time to grow and mature. Amen. Gary came, amen, from outreach, got baptized on a Saturday, and then As for Cal, she got the Holy Ghost that one Sunday. She came just so hungry for the Word of God. She got it during worship service. Amen. Sister Telemar, 72 years old, got baptized, and she got the Holy Ghost right before I left. That young lady got the Holy Ghost in Sunday school. It's time to shine, church. Amen. That young man got the Holy Ghost in Sunday school. Sister Victoria is doing a tremendous job. That young man got the Holy Ghost also in Sunday school. Praise God. So it doesn't matter. You can be 72 or 7. Amen. They're younger than that, though. They're only about 5. Amen. There's our upcoming preachers. Amen. Josiah and Joseph. Amen. You are now entering the harvest field. What will you do? He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. There's Isaiah in his big wagon there that Grandpa made for him. He's became our maintenance man. Now he mows all the grass and takes care of everything. It's working out real well. And we're global, church. Amen. You guys support us and we support others. That's during worship service. Our drummer was playing the drums. He just got up off the drums, went down into the people, and he started pulling up all the guys, and he said, pray. And all the ladies are sitting there like, what are we to do? So they all came up and prayed. And then all the young people got in the center. That was during worship. And then the worship, those that were singing worship, they said, forget this, we're going down there. And they went down too. It's just like, and we had like 2 or 3 people get the Holy Ghost that day. I think 1 or 2 of the young people did. And that's when Gary got the Holy Ghost. Amen. The one that came on outreach. Praise God. So we are thankful for your support, for all that you do. That's our, if you want to say, our leadership team that helps us accomplish that which we do. And we thank you because you guys make it possible so we can do what we do. Amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Smith. If our ushers can come again. With Lenny and Kathy, they live very frugally. And they don't have a huge budget. And they met most of their budget, I believe, at conference this year, other than they need their vans eventually wear out. And you know how it is, our vehicles wear out, and their vehicles down there is a large part of their ministry with transportation because there's no public transportation that goes near their church, so they kind of are the transportation. And Brother Lenny, they're looking for 3 vans, a total of $10,000 for all 3 vans. So that's a pretty good bargain there. And I would like to take and help them out. So if you'd like to take and help them out in this area, or if you'd like to sponsor them by the month, so if you'd like to sponsor them, I know at district conference it was $25 a month. And they had a number of lots of folks, I don't know how many exactly, but took them on just for a $25 a month partnership. And I believe that is just for 1 year, from year to year, and you come back next year, is it renewed then, Lenny? It's just continual then? Okay. Okay. On the table is all of that information. So you can go ahead, ushers, if you'd like to take and start passing. So $25 a month, or if you'd like to assist in helping them with their vans, replacing their vehicles, that would be very much appreciated. And they will put them to work hauling our brothers and sisters from Antigua to church. So we had a great district conference. We had a number of missionaries there that came through. We also had a tremendous speaker spoke in one of our morning devotion sessions from Singapore and did a tremendous job. It's just great to hear what God is doing all over the world. And God is moving all over the world. And He's getting ready. Things are winding down, folks. Now is not the time to start to question, do I need to stay in or do I have a little more time? I mean, now is the time to get in and stay in. So we're going to have Brother Lenny come back and speak to us here for a few more moments. God bless you, Brother Smith. We love you.
Amen. God has been so good to His church. Truly, the day that we live in, whether you realize it or not, we are in a battle. We are in a war. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but of spiritual wickedness and dark things all over this world. And God doesn't necessarily want to take us out of those, if you want to say, struggles, because that's what makes us who we are. Okay? If you're going to be strong, you're going to have to do something. Amen? And we are in a fight, church. So I want to just share a little bit with you tonight about pursuing the promise. Amen? If you go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, I correlated this with the promise that God gave to Moses that went through Joshua because Moses was taken. But God has given the church a promise. And just like Joshua had to pursue it, so does the church. It's no different. In Joshua chapter 1, starting with verse 5, we read, "There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." But he repeats himself, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest." Pastor, would you pray? And everybody said. So the Lord promised Joshua, "I'm not going to leave you. Be strong and of good courage. Be courageous. Because you have a job to do, and I'm going to be with you. You're not doing it alone. I promised the people or your people an inheritance." God has promised the church an inheritance. And we'll get there. Amen. If you want, just pull it up. Amen. And it's none different, but we got to work to get our inheritance. Amen. I think it was Ephesians. No. It's Ephesians, but it's 1, verses 11 through 14. But that's a good scripture. I mean, come on. If you're going to pursue the promise, you better put on the whole armor of God. So you ain't going to do it by yourself. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained," what? "An inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him," that is Jesus, Almighty God, "who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Amen. Verse 12. "That ye should be of the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." God allows us to reflect His glory. That's what He's talking about. You're going to be His praise on this earth. Not something else, but His people. "In whom," verse 13, "ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So God gives us His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to, it's like the earnest of our inheritance, it's like a little taste of heaven, to allow us and to understand that we have the power to accomplish everything that He did when He was here. That's why He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He doesn't expect no one to do it by themselves. And in four verses, going to Joshua 1 and 9, verse 6 he said, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7 he said, be strong and of good courage. Now in verse 9 it says, have not I commanded thee? Who's talking? This is the Almighty speaking to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, thou goest. God is with the church the same way. He sends us into this world to be a witness. And you're going to have a fight on your hands because the world don't like you. It's just plain and simple. I'm sorry, but not everybody's going to like what you do, what you stand for, how you look, how you talk, how you act. Because you rub them the wrong way, because by you living godly, you make them feel very uncomfortable. You do. You make them feel uncomfortable. And Joshua was facing, he had to go across the water, the river, Jordan River. And he knew that he had a fight on his hands. Those people weren't going to say, oh, come on over, guys. How many ever you got left? A million or two yet or whatever there is. And, you know, we're going to open up our grocery store for you and you get to eat whatever you want. And, you know, no. So we can't be dismayed when things seem to go wrong. God doesn't forsake or leave His people. But are you going to pursue the promise? Do you want to see what happened when the apostles walked? Well, it should happen when we walk. That's why we have so many people get the Holy Ghost or get healed right on the street. I could tell you story after story after story of people being healed on the street and getting filled with the Holy Ghost on the street or on the sidewalk. We got 16-year-old kids praying people through the Holy Ghost on the sidewalk. I'm not doing it. They're doing it. Why? Because they believe that they go out and tell the people it's going to happen, and it does. Amen? So, Jesus tells us in Matthew 16, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what he's telling us is, I have come to build a church. And kind of what stands against my church growing is hell. Because people are bound with chains of addiction and lusts and things of the flesh, and they cannot get free. They can't get free. So Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And how has He come? In you and in me. Do you know that when Paul got knocked down on the road to Damascus, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Jesus could have told him exactly what he had to do. He didn't tell him what he needed to do. He said, you go to the city, and if you read the whole story, I'm going to send you a man named Ananias, and Ananias is going to pray for you that you receive your sight. He's going to baptize you, and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, because I got a job for you to do. So God uses people, ordinary. The only time you read about Ananias ever again is when he recounts or recalls the story in Acts, I think, 26, where he's retelling his story about Ananias coming to pray for him. Ananias, as far as I know, and I searched it out and looked it up, and I maybe not found it, but I wanted to see, was he part of the apostles? Was he a preacher? Was he an evangelist? Was he a prophet? He was a saint of God in a prayer meeting one morning, and the Lord said, Ananias, yes, Lord, I want you to go pray for somebody. So if I would ask this question, most all of you would probably say yes. How many of you have been at a workplace or this place or that place or just driving down the street and the Lord just puts in your mind or in your heart, I want you to go talk to that person? And what is our answer? Who, me? Talk to them? You got to be kidding me. You know who they are. I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't know that you could take care of the job. Amen. So when God asks you to do something, don't say, who am I and who is that and this and that and all that stuff. So what's he tell us in Matthew 28? He tells us to go. And we are to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And in verse 20, he goes on to tell us, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Isn't that what he told Joshua? I'm going to be with you no matter where you go. Now, I got a whole lot more stuff here, but just go to the book of Jude if you would. And the Lord gave me this before we had our tongues and interpretation. Okay? Look at what Jude tells us. He's the half-brother of Jesus. Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 17. It says, but beloved, he's talking to the church, okay? Remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going, right? We're going to take it right to the end. How that they told you that, or you, there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. In other words, they ain't going to walk the way you want to walk or the way we should walk. They are going to walk contrary to that. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost, your whole desire should want to be and do like the Holy Ghost would do. But ye beloved, building up yourselves, how? On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So a runner runs to get faster. A weightlifter pumps iron to get stronger. According to Jude in the Word of God, a Christian prays in the Holy Ghost to build up our most holy faith. If you want to get strong in God, strong in the Holy Ghost, you got to pray in tongues. That's when people say, well, you know, the Holy Ghost ain't praying in tongues and all this stuff. Well, then, wait a minute. How do you just pray in the Holy Ghost if you're praying in your understanding? How do you know when you go from that to that? Because God made a distinct way to know for those that don't believe all that stuff. Because so many people in Antigua, you got the Holy Ghost? Yeah, great. You speak in tongues? No, I don't have that gift. That's what they've been taught and told. So then we just go into the Bible study. Can I share the Word of God with you? Amen. Another way to talk to people, and this is one way I do, is when we're out on the street, I just introduce myself. I'm Pastor Smith from Praise Tabernacle. I said, could I ask you a question? And most people, they're going to say, yes. I say, could you explain the gospel to me? And then he's like, well, you love God, or you be real good. Or just, you know, I say, okay, that's, could I share what the Word of God says? And they say, well, go ahead. I said, well, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost.
So according to the Word of God, not me, but according to the Word of God, if we don't know what the gospel is, we're lost. And it goes on in verse 4, you know, because the God of this world has blinded their minds so they cannot see the glorious gospel of Christ. So then it just opens up the door to teach a Bible study. It's just, that's how we do it. We got to get people face to face with the Word of God, because to say something that don't mean nothing. You say, I say, big deal. But what does the Word of God say? We have to confront people with the Word of God. And we don't do it in a mean way. But if they're not told, who's going to tell them? Amen? Going on. Oh, you're already over there, huh? Okay, we'll just go back to Jude. I wasn't. Amen. But see, Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus. It's God in the flesh. Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This next verse. And some having compassion, making a difference. What's it talking about? It's talking about going into hell and pulling people out of the fire. Those that are bound by sin. God has something better than this world has to offer. You can experience everything this world has to offer, and it don't come close to what Jesus has. I experienced a lot of things in my younger days. And when God got a hold of me, man, I went back to the very same places where I used to get all messed up. And I told everybody about Jesus, and they thought I was really weird and strange. But they could tell that there's something happened to that boy. He ain't doing what he used to do. Man, if my school ever, if I could ever go to a class reunion and they would see what I is now and what I was. They know what I was. But what I is now is, man, I could tell you stories. Is there any more? Is that it? Okay. Pulling them and others saving and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you, what? Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So many times we're trying to teach a Bible study. They say, well, I'm not quite ready to serve God yet because what if I start and then I fail? Right there. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Don't you believe God's strong enough to keep you from messing up? But you don't want to start because you got this fear that you can't make it. But the truth is you can make it if you just start. You'll never win a race until you sign up and get your number and take off. The race ain't to the swift. It's just them that keep running. Amen. So, our whole goal in Antigua is to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And I got a whole lot more to this. Let's just share a little bit more. Go to Joshua chapter 3. This is very important, this next part. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the Lord, or the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. But look what it says, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. God has placed these men here
to lead you. You can't make it by yourself. Joshua told the people, if you're going to go into the promised land, if you're going to make it over the Jordan, you're going to have to follow the priesthood. You're going to have to follow those I put in authority. Because you don't know the way to go. But it only gets better. He goes on to say, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. When God calls us out of the world, we got no clue what to do and how to do it. That's why we need to be in a Bible study. That's why we need to follow the men of God and women of God. Because God has placed them there so we know where to go and how to go and how to go about it. So we have to follow what God has put in place. And they are the watchers of our soul. When pastor or leadership gets in your face when you for doing something that you shouldn't be doing, don't get all bent out of shape. You better click your heels and say, aye, aye, sir, and then do it. Or they'll say, give me 20 right now. I know, I was a jarhead one time. I know what it's like, Semper Fi, you know, just. God has given us men to lead us. Amen? And that's why, look at Acts 2 and 36. It's so neat. I like this portion of Scripture because 50 days prior to this, or thereabouts, Peter's warming his hands around a fire. And a little maidservant comes out and goes, ain't you one of his followers? And he's going, not me. Don't lump me in with them guys. And it happens two more times. Peter didn't have much of a backbone at that moment because he didn't have no power yet. But when the Holy Ghost fell and he got the power, look at what he's doing. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Who's he pointing his finger at? The very people that put Jesus on the cross. He's saying, listen, guys, you're the one that killed our Messiah. The guy we've been looking for, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, you put him on a cross. 50 days prior, he couldn't even stand up to a little maidservant. Now he's pointing his finger at the very people that put Jesus on the cross and could have put him on the cross too. But he wasn't afraid anymore because he had a mission. I'm going to pursue the promise. God told me to do what I'm about to do. He gave me the keys to the kingdom, and I'm going to open it up. And we know what he said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. So many churches say, oh, just come up to the altar and repent. And you feel good because God forgave you. That's great. But until you get into a watery tank, a grave, your sins ain't washed away. That's why the Bible says some people's sins go before them, and some people's sins follow them. Mine went before me. I don't want nothing following me. Amen? Going on, Joshua 5, verse 2. At the time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Pastor, once is enough. That would really have to hurt. But he's not doing it twice. Be of good courage. Amen. We'll just skip down to verse 5 because all that other stuff is just there. But it says, now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So there were people there, men, that were or could be at least 40 years old, those that were born in the wilderness. I wouldn't want to be circumcised at 40 years old. But they were. Well, how does that compare to the church? Glad you asked. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Thank you, Jesus. In putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him, how? In baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that what? That was against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Our sins, your sins, my sins, caused Jesus to die on a cross. But because he did that, we don't have to be circumcised in flesh. We're circumcised in heart and in mind, and through baptism and obedience to all that, we fulfill the circumcision. But Joshua didn't have it so easy. Them boys had to get circumcised. Amen? So, and there's a whole bunch more to it. They took him to the hill of the foreskins. What a mess. I wouldn't want to be there. Amen? Let's go to Joshua 14 right away. Because I'm talking about pursuing the promise. Caleb was promised the mountain, the name, Hebron. Amen. And who lived on the mountain were those big guys. The ones that David slew. Amen. Joshua 14, verse 12. It just says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there." Those were the six fingers, six toes, you know, 7 to 9 foot tall guys. And they're on the hill. Okay? "And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me," which he is, "then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, unto this day, because what? That he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb knew the big guys lived on the hill. Anybody ever walk up a hill? It's not always easy, is it? How do you think it is when you got guys that are way bigger than you? Amen? Come, sis. Okay. I should get a guy. That's all right. Come. You stand up there. Any place. Just get up on the pew. There. Now, this is kind of like what you're going to be seeing. These are the guys on the hill. These are the guys trying to get up the hill. But these guys, his arms are about the size of my waist. He's a big boy. And he's in a fenced city. He can pick up a good-sized rock. And I've been to Israel. There's a lot of rocks. You don't have to find one. You just pick them up. They're all over. But Caleb said, "I'm going to take that guy out because God promised me that's my inheritance." Thank you, Goliath. But you're coming down. God has promised the church victory over everything. Now, I can't explain why God sometimes doesn't do what we think he should do. But God is sovereign. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done. Amen? So I'm not going to question God why he doesn't or does do certain things, but I'm going to believe God that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. That there is nothing that I am not able to do, and I'm going to keep doing it till the day I die or he takes me out of here. And that's what the church is supposed to be doing, pursuing the promises. Lord, you promised me. Amen. Didn't Jesus say, handle me and see? Prove me? God wants to prove the church, but are you willing to step out on a limb where it looks like you're going to be the oddball or you're going to be the one that, well, what if he doesn't do it? Well, what if he does? That's why our people ain't afraid to pray for people on the street. Because they've seen the results. But that wouldn't happen unless you do it. You know how many people we pray for on the street? They're looking all over the place like they're afraid that somebody will see them. They don't want you really praying for them sometimes on the street because they're like, man, my friends might see me. So my solution to that is I just say, just close your eyes and think about Jesus and I'll pray. Don't worry about it. You just close your eyes and think about Jesus. And God heals them. It's so awesome, church. Are you going to pursue the promises? Now, I had a lot more to this message, but the whole gist of it is God has given us promises. Amen. And he has called us to be his witness. But nothing's going to happen unless you go after it. And we didn't even get about when they crossed over the Jordan and all that stuff. They was looking for a fight. Amen. God stopped the manna. They did the Passover. They had the blood. They did the thing on the right day, the whole deal. Before they ever went in to take Jericho, they made sure everything was right with God. They made sure they were circumcised. They made sure they did the Passover. They honored God. They had his blood applied. They did all these things. They followed the priesthood. Because who was leading the walk around the city? The priesthood. Who was following them? Everybody else. They did everything according to the word of God, and they got the results that God said he would give them. And so will the church if we will pursue the promises of God. He will do exactly what he said he will do. Amen. And he will give you your own stories. Amen. But you're going to have a fight on your hands because not everybody's going to lay down. Because when they did the Passover, they ate the old food that. And then it says the manna ceased on the morrow, the next day. You know what that's saying? I ain't feeding you anymore. You're going to have to get your own food. If you study out wars and battles and stuff, there has been many of generals and commanders that when they went to a country to conquer it, if they took ships there, when they got there, you know what they did? They sunk the boats. What were they doing? They were telling all the guys that came with them, we ain't going back. It's only forward from here. And listen, buddy, if you're hungry, we got to go get the food. I can tell you, Jericho didn't open up their grocery store and say, come in, guys, help yourself. That place was shut up tight and they were scared to death. And see, the enemy is scared to death of you when you walk with God the way you're supposed to walk with God. Because they can't stand against the name of Jesus. That name is powerful. It pulls down every stronghold, everything. That's why Paul wasn't afraid to use the name. That name is powerful. So there is nothing that can come against us that we cannot stand against. We call upon the name. We allow the Holy Ghost to move us and do whatever we need to do. And let God take care of the rest. We're just vessels. I'm so glad, Pastor, that I get to be in the midst of what Jesus wants to do. It's not because we're anything, quote unquote, special. We just have a desire to do what he wants to do. I don't got no pedigree, no this, no that. So church, do you want to pursue the promises of God tonight? Do you want to see God do something through you Do you want to be the Ananias that prays for the next Saul that becomes Paul? Come on, church. We can be used by God if we will give ourselves to the things of God and pursue the promises. Let's pursue the promises. This altar's open. If you want to pursue the promise, come. If you need a promise, come, because they're both available. The promises of God are yea and they are amen. If you need healing, you need a touch in your body, you need the Holy Ghost, come. If you want to be used by God to see the promises come to pass, come. God wants to use each and every person tonight. Or God wants to touch and minister to every person tonight. There is no need too big, nothing too hard for God to do. When you trust God, like Joshua trusts God, and we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, nor the pride of life, and all those other things. Let us walk according to the precepts of God, honor Him with our life, as He uses you, each and every one of you, to accomplish His will on earth. You're His hands, you're His feet, you're His mouth, to touch and to minister to those that are hurting.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Reach out to Him tonight. Come on down to the front. There's plenty of room down here. Come on down. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. God, you're so good.
My soul says yes.
We love you, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
We love you, Lord.
My soul says yes. Says yes to your will.
You're so wonderful. Yes. You're so wonderful, God. You are.